Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 308. Will these mittens see snow? Sunday, February 26, 2023. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. This episode will feature the following segments: news and prizes, knit to this, the back porch, the front porch, off the shelf, and so forth. Hello and welcome. It is great to be talking with you about my knitting and crafting here on a very raw and somewhat blustery Sunday morning in Delaware Water Gap. We have not had really anything much in the way of accumulating snow here in northeastern PA this winter. That may be about to change as there is the hint of some accumulating snow in the forecast. Now, since the winter, I believe it was the winter of 2018, I never express a wish for snow on the podcast. And this is going out especially to Amy and Lisa, who scolded me when I wished for snow and then it never stopped snowing. At this point, since we haven't had any snow and now, you know, there have been signs of spring and such warm days, I'm sort of in the mind of not wanting it. We'll see what this week brings. I have great news to share about the Scouring Facility fundraiser in the Hudson Valley. You heard me make a pitch to donate to this scouring facility or to share the information if you could so that the Hudson Valley Textile Project could reach their goal of $15,000, the last bit they need to open this facility. The point is to keep scouring, which is a very important part of the sheep to skein trajectory, local to the Hudson Valley, to help all of the farms and farmers there, the people who are interested in a more local and specific supply chain, and also to relieve some of the small local mills who are doing this processing from a big part of the scouring responsibility, which takes a toll on the labor and the facility. And so if there were a centralized scouring facility, or should I say, when there is a centralized scouring facility, mills can focus more on doing the work of taking clean fiber and turning it into different types of yarn. So since the last time I talked about this on the podcast, the Hudson Valley Textile Project, with 190 donors, has reached beyond its goal of $15,000. And I want to thank everyone who listens to this podcast and who has made a contribution or even just spread the word about this very important endeavor. I'm so pleased for the people who have been working so hard at this mission, and I look forward to sharing more news with you or pointing you in the direction of finding out more about this in the future. On episode 307, I announced a giveaway sponsored by Gail Pirinello of the Cornwall Yarn Shop and also affiliated with the Hudson Valley Textile Project. And this giveaway was for one of two skeins of her Bear Mountain sock, a 100% Dorset yarn, no nylon, that is sourced and milled in New York. She sent along a botanically dyed skein called Chicory, which is a beautiful blue, and a multicolored skein dyed by Wobble Gobble. Thank you so much to everyone who posted on my Instagram page or on the comments on my webpage regarding your excitement about this yarn, what you might knit with it, and your interest in more sustainable sock yarn. The winner of this skein is Pamela. Pamela made a post on the Yarns at Yinhu website on February 3rd at 3:26 p.m. and wrote, "What a lovely idea to develop a sock weight yarn not using nylon and to test it out by multiple washings. Love both of the colorways, but tending toward the botanically dyed skein. Since I am a sock knitting virgin, I think I'd either try my hand at EZ's Afterthought Heel Pattern in my Knitting Without Tears book, or Susan B. Anderson's Color Rib Socks. Thanks for a fun podcast." Well, congratulations, Pamela. Please be in touch with me with your mailing address so I can get this out to you right away. And I will also gift you a pattern for my Taking Back the River socks, should you ever wish to try them. And this is thanks to Anita mentioning that she thought this botanically dyed skein really begs to be knit in the Take Back the River sock pattern. And I think based on the generous put up, you might even have enough yarn for more than one pair, Pamela. So congratulations again, and I look forward to sending out this yarn and knitting along with you. Knit to This. With this segment, I am shamelessly purloining Modern Daily Knitting's blog posts about things to watch or listen while you knit, and I happen to have a really great set of suggestions for you this episode. Each spring, the textile program at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia hosts a series of panels. These panels are now available to watch on YouTube. They are 1 hour each. One is on sustainability, and the other is a farm to fabric panel. And that panel features MJ Packer of the Battenkill Fiber Mill and Dr. Lily Marsh, who you've heard extensively on this podcast and who is an acclaimed weaver. They talk about the whole process of fleece to finished yarn and the different aspects of that process. Each of these is about an hour long. They're incredibly informative and really of interest, I think, to Yarns at Yinhu listeners who have interest in learning more about local production, sustainability, the costs associated, and all of those kinds of considerations. So I will link to both of these programs in the show notes for this episode, and I hope you check them out. The Back Porch. I've completed the second project in my Taproot Make 9. These are the Winter Light Mittens by Abby Goodman, and they appeared in the Amend issue of Taproot, issue 53. I knit them in two beautiful local yarns, one from Ross Farms and another from Hope Horn. They provide really high contrast, a lot of warmth. They were a delight to knit with, and I really enjoyed Abby Goodman's pattern. Since I'm such a loose knitter, I did knit the entire thing on US 3 needles, and I omitted the brioche cuffs because I just wanted to get more quickly into the color work of the pattern, and I'm not a very skilled brioche knitter. I do think that the brioche would make a more dense and very beautiful cuff, especially if you were using a yarn that isn't too dark and it's a little bit easier to see challenging and difficult stitch work. The yarn I used for the cuff is Black Welsh Mountain. It is really chocolatey, deep, dark brown, and it doesn't provide a lot in terms of showcasing texture. But it is a great play against Hope Horn's. Really, it's a little bit fuzzy, off-white yarn. And I love the way the two play together. They're super warm and cozy. They may be coming out this week if we have any accumulating snowfall. And I didn't use very much of this yarn to knit the pattern. So for this episode, I'd like to offer up my leftover skeins for each of these yarns so that you can knit your own pair of winter light mittens, or maybe you would just like to intermingle these yarns in some other small accessory pattern that you have picked out. So if you would like to be the winner of these two local yarns, one dark brown, one off-white, I'll put the specific details about these yarns in the show notes. Then you could leave a comment on the website in the comment section, or you could comment on the Instagram post where I post episode 308. I'll announce the winner of this prize on my next podcast episode, episode 309. On the front porch is a scrappy project. I had a little bit of a difficult time determining what to start knitting after I completed these mittens, and I was looking at a bag of scrap yarn that I've been putting together based on sort of like a neutral, soothing palette, and thinking about a scrappy project that I would like to do. And my mind turned to something that I've knit twice before. It's called the Flickerl. It's like flicker with an L at the end. It's a pattern designed by Simone Eich of Woolwork. And to me, it is the ultimate scrappy project because you can use as many colors as you choose. It doesn't matter how much you have of each of these colors. You can combine weights within reason, and you don't have to weave in any ends. The ends make a fringe. That's the ultimate scrappy project, right? Doesn't that tick every box that you have? The Flickerl scarf is a linen stitch scarf. So each yarn that you use, you knit four rows and then change colors. And you leave a long tail at the beginning and the end of each of these four rows, and then you knot colors together to form a fringe. I have knit this before in rather bright, saturated colors. Every time I wear the scarf that I made, I think I made one and gave it away, and I made one and I keep it and wear it. And every time I wear this scarf, I get so many compliments on it. And most people think, even knitters, suspect that it might be woven. And that is because of the linen stitch. So there are only 4 rows of directions to follow once you get it started, and that takes only 8 rows. And you have directions in the pattern for a narrower version and a wider version. I'm using yarns that range from a light fingering to a light DK. You could use worsted weight yarn. You could hold lighter or fingering weight yarns double if you choose. You can really vary this pattern quite a bit to fit the type of scrap yarn that you have. I'm using a US 5 to knit this, and I think that's appropriate for some lighter weight yarns. If I were using worsted and maybe fingering weight held double, I might jump up to a 7 or perhaps an 8 for that. The linen stitch is beautiful and looks woven on the front. It's really dimensional with a ton of purl bumps on the back. It's so that's great for a scarf because as you have it wrapped around your neck, you're likely to see both the wrong and the right side of this scarf. Once again, that's Flick Girl, a pattern by Simone Eich. Off the shelf. This week I have a poem that was sent to me by my friend Allison. She said she thought I would enjoy it, and as soon as I read it, I knew that I would be reading it on the podcast. It's titled The Spinner's Lament, and it's from the early 70s. The Creative Arts School, 1973, at Mitchell College, Bathurst, inspired a member of Eve Rashley's very successful spinning group to pen the following poem. So here it is, The Spinner's Lament. You can, if you're a spinner, you can see if you identify with any of this. The caracal's a hairy beast. I think I like his fleece the least. He's sort of like a sheepy goat or goaty sheep. But oh, his coat is sometimes thick and sometimes thin and always, always hell to spin. And then there's alpaca's woolly fluff. You spin, but don't inhale the stuff. You sneeze and snuffle, swear and curse. Just wait. Eve's saving something worse. Of mohair, what is there to say? They'd all be bald if I'd my way. Only another goat should care what happens to that hairy hair. Although his back may have a hump, a camel's hair without a lump, at last I've come to my delight. A camel's drawers I've spun tonight. With boucle, flamme, wrap, and knop, tuft, tweed, and plain, I'll have to stop and write it down, or else I fear I won't remember till next year. Dacron nylon, what a curse. Oh God, my spinning's getting worse. With tow and flax and rotten cotton, the last a nightmare, best forgotten. But still, it's spun. Who would believe just what we've managed to achieve? So Eve, if you will have us then, next year we'll come and try again. And just before I conclude with and so forth, I just want to share a little bit about a project I've been working on over the month of February, which is to record some short audio segments from local to me women artists in the Lehigh Valley region of Pennsylvania who are going to be exhibiting their work at a Women's History Month show that is very local to me. There are more than 20 artists who will be featured. Some are well-established. Others, like me, are emerging. And the women who are exhibiting have made various contributions to the show. Some will be doing publicity work. Some will be hanging the show. The curator, Trish Lowry-Lippert, created a curator's statement. And this has long been an interest of hers to gather women artists and create ways for them to show together. So my contribution to this endeavor has been to record small audio files for 6 of the women artists in which they talk a little bit about a particular piece that will appear in the show and some things about it, maybe techniques or materials that were used, and also a source of inspiration for them. These audio files will be hosted for the month of March on my website, and I've compiled them and provided links so that you could take a listen. If you happen to live locally, you may be interested in attending the opening on March 2nd, 5 to 7 p.m. But I think you could learn a little bit about the artists and their work just from listening to these audio files. These artists volunteered to work with me and collaborate with me, and they represent quite a diversity of age, experience, and also media. So they're working in all different forms. And it's been my honor and my great pleasure to work with them and to record their voices. So I hope you give that a listen if it interests you. Finally, in sewing news, I am working this weekend on completing the clothespin bag that will be the first quarter prize for Ko-Fi supporters. If you have made a membership contribution or a one-time contribution during the first quarter of 2023, you will be eligible to win this prize, which is my version of a clothespin carrier that appeared in the Revive issue, issue 31 of Taproot magazine. I made my own version of this project back during the pandemic. It's one of my most prized possessions. And just before the holidays, I secured some new materials so that I could make a few additional of these. I gave one as a Christmas gift, and now I'm making one for a very lucky Ko-Fi supporter. The drawing for this will be after March 20th, and anyone who has made any kind of contribution from January 1 to March 20th will be eligible for this prize. The clothespin bag features a vintage pants hanger as the hook and hanger, and it will also have hand stitching and a laminated cotton lining so that it's very appropriate to hang outside in all weather with your clothespins. It will not include clothespins. You'll have to source your own clothespins. But I'm really excited to be offering this up. It's a project I very much enjoy making. And maybe over the next few days or so, I will post some photographs of the finished project. Thanks for listening. I hope you are safe and well and that you find time this week for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.